Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with General Michael Hayden, Director, National Security Agency. And joining us in our conversation is Bonnie Brown, another PwC partner.
General, what advice would you give to a young person today who is interested in a career in public service?
Great question, Bonnie. Obviously, I've done this for three decades, and so it's been very satisfying for me and actually very satisfying for my family and my wife and the children especially. My children are who they are today because of we as a family unit moving around to multiple continents and in the armed forces. I think what I'd say to young folks today, though, might be a little different. You use the word career in public service. Certainly in terms of the National Security Agency, and that's where I'm focused now, when we're doing our current recruiting, we're not going out there pushing a career in NSA. That's a new tactic for us. By and large, for security reasons, the fact that we wanted a very stable workforce. When we went out to recruit in the past, the implicit and from time to time the explicit contract we were talking about was come to work for NSA for life. We've not done that. And I think that's really helped our recruiting effort. Essentially, the mantra now for our recruiters is, come work for NSA. You can't find a better first job. And then we'll take our chances then as to what happens 3, 4, 5, 6 years hence. I'd also suggest that we, certainly at NSA, and let me confine my remarks to that because I know it best, could profit from people moving in and out of government service into the private sector and back into government service. I mentioned earlier about all the things going on beyond our perimeter fence that we have to, for want of a better word, import inside the National Security Agency. To have personnel move back and forth as well, I think would be a blessing. It keeps our skills at cutting edge. Now, we are an intelligence agency, though. We're part of the intelligence community. Security is very important. And if you do have this more flexible workforce, you've got to take care. You've got to use all the tools available to you to guarantee security because you're not relying on that old reliable, which was one workforce 35 years.
What type of skills should a young person have who's interested in joining the intelligence community? For example, what type of degrees did the 607 people you've hired this year have?
Well, we're kind of atypical for the intel community. So let me answer that question, Paul, for NSA, but then expand it for the intel community at large. Right now, our crying needs at NSA are by and large in the technical skills. And so you'll see us going after mathematicians, computer scientists, engineers, and the like. Being a foreign intelligence agency, we also need linguistic skills also. So you'll see us pursuing those. But by and large, unlike anyone else in the intel community, you'll see us anchored in technical skills. And so that's what we aggressively go after. That's what our crying need is. But let me talk for a minute more broadly across the intel community. We need people who are culturally and intellectually diverse. We need people whose mental constructs allow them to think in ways that perhaps aren't parallel or rote or acceptable, if that's the right word, or certainly regimented by the way we Americans normally see things. We need intelligence analysts who are quite willing to immerse themselves in a second language and a second culture to be able to see things through the eyes of this second culture. Not to justify that, not to go over to the other side, so to speak, but to better understand how that adversary or potential adversary perceives what it is we're doing. That's a tall order. It's almost a cultural question, and it's something that I feel very strongly about. Something that we need to have. Let me give you an example. Just out of my own professional background, I was a UCOM J2, Chief of Intelligence for U.S. Forces in Europe. 93, 94, 95, during the UN wars in Bosnia. And there was horrific fighting in a town called Mostar, south of Sarajevo, along the Neretva River, between Croats and Muslims. And I recall one young officer on my staff briefing our commander, saying that this fighting was going on, and the commander said, well, who's on the attack here? And the young officer said, the Croats. He said, how far will they go? And the officer answered, they'll go to the Neretva River. And the commander said, why? Is the Neretva a very defensible line? And the young officer said, absolutely, sir. The bank drops off about 20 meters when they get there. It'll be a very defensible line. but that's not why they'll go to the Naratva. And the commander said, so why will they? And the young officer responded, because in the great schism of Christendom in the 11th century, the dividing line between Orthodoxy and Catholicism was the Naratva. To be Croat is to be Catholic. They'll fight to the Naratva. That's the kind of cultural understanding that informs judgments about modern events. And I'm sure, Paul, you've heard the critique about Americans being an ahistorical people. We can't afford ahistorical intelligence analysts.
Well, let me shift gears a little bit. What kind of technological advances do you expect will assist NSA in managing its mission?
The thing we need most of all is the ability to manage large volumes of information, knowledge management, if you will, to make that less a manpower, labor-intensive process, and to allow our human capital, our human brain power, to operate at the higher levels. If you look at kind of a taxonomy of information, it goes from signals to data to information to knowledge to intelligence. We want our people up there on the higher end, you know, moving things from information to knowledge to intelligence. We don't want our folks down there at the lower end trying to turn signals into data or data into knowledge.
Do the tools exist now, or for the kind of volumes you're talking about, will they have to be invented?
A lot of the tools exist, and they simply need to be imported by us, if that's the right word, and tailored to our needs. But a lot of the tools don't. There are things that we'll have to build, or in cooperation with industry, build in order to manage the vast volumes of data. By the way, there's an interesting Fourth Amendment and civil liberties content to this as well. We're required to protect American privacy all along in our process, access, collection, processing, analysis, and dissemination. It's just not at the back end. And so these tools that allow you to master the data, even in large volumes, are the same tools that allow you to protect American privacy.
What is your vision for the next 10 years at NSA, and how do you see NSA evolving over this time?
Rebirth of the agency. There are those outside the agency who criticize it. You use the phrase before going deaf, as if it's in this death spiral, this downward turn. Actually, the agency is quite successful today, and we get very positive reviews from our entire customer and user base. That said, if one looks at what's available out there now in the electromagnetic spectrum, which is where we do our business, and compare the volumes that were out there 10, 20, or 50 years ago, all that volume that I've been kind of complaining about that is so difficult for us to deal with, within that volume are contained the secrets to protect American lives and American values. And so if we get this right, this is not about NSA getting well. This is a golden age in our contribution to American liberties.
What kind of management challenges will the technological advances place on NSA?
Management challenges, essentially, I think first and foremost, is recruiting and retaining the technological skills that you have to have inside the agency. I already talked about allying with industry for other skills to do things that we no longer have to do ourselves. I think that's an important one.
How about in terms of the type of skills the NSA employees will have? Will they actually be doing, or will more of this work be done by private sector partners, for example?
No, there's always a hard core of activity. And when I talk about aligning with industry, this is not about mission. This is about the various support structures that we need. There's always an inherently governmental activity that remains at NSA, and that's our intelligence work. That's got to be done. That must be done by government employees.
Will the challenges that the leaders face be the same, or will they change as all this technology?
Our heritage as an intelligence organization, our heritage as a government organization, is very traditional. It's very bureaucratic. It's very hierarchical. Power and information cascade from top to bottom. That's not how it can work in the future. We've got to be nodal, networked, interconnected, just like the outside world. The big shift for leaders is to be confident and to be able to lead in a world that's not hierarchical, in a world that's not bureaucratic, in a world in which power and information don't flow down from the top, but still be able to lead.
One final question. Just 2 years ago, this interview request would have been denied. Why now?
We've made some clear decisions over the past 2 years. that there's quite a bit about what NSA does for America that Americans need to know, and there is no great danger to American security by reviewing some of these things. I talked about our trying to ally with outside industry. I talked about increasing our recruitment. You can't do that if the public image of the agency shifts between being malevolent or incompetent, as I mentioned. And so we've tried to raise our profile carefully, protecting secrets. After all, one of our missions is to protect the nation's secrets, but to raise our profile so that the American people have a better understanding of who we are and what we do. And that's why we're here doing shows like this one.
Thank you very much, General Hayden. Bonnie and I have enjoyed a very interesting conversation. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Paul.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General Michael Hayden, Director of the National Security Agency. To learn more about our programs and research these new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. And at this website, you can also get a transcript of today's conversation. See you next week.